Hey, today I'm talking with John Williams. He's a parent, he's a community member, and I got to tell you something. I met him a long time ago when I was a principal, and he was so instrumental in helping us make change and make a difference in the school. Awesome advice today. Listen, and make sure you listen all the way to the end.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Every principal who, when you take the role, you get told that you want to work with parents and you want to work with community members. And, you know, it's interesting because there's no real class on that. And especially when you become principal and there's somebody there who wants to help and you're worried because you don't know whether they want to help. Well, today I'm talking to that gentleman who we've known each other for a long time now. And he's an awesome parent. He's an awesome role model for adults and kids. He took kids in who needed help. He helped focus you. He didn't have a problem speaking his mind whatsoever. And so you always knew where he stood. And that's what was really cool. I learned that fast because, you know, what a lot of people will do is they'll say, you know, this is what I think, but they really don't because you learn that. But with my guest today, that was the exact opposite of that. But and what I also loved was that he would get so involved in the school to the point that he's helping you figure out how to solve the challenges you have in the school, from helping us do tutoring sessions with kids, helping us do creative things that brought the kids together, like basketball games, and he's one heck of a basketball player. I learned you don't want to get into a game with him because you're going to lose, all right? But John Williams was an incredible help to me as a principal. I'm proud to call him friend. And I'm glad, and I can't believe it's been, it's over 15 years. Yes. We're probably going on 16, 17 now that we've known each other. He's a proud graduate of Southern University.
Correct.
And I got him here today. Say hi to everybody, John.
Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
Well, John, I appreciate you joining me today. And we're going to talk about the parents and community members helping schools out. And so having known you for over 15 years, if I were to describe you to someone, I would say that you have a great smile, great sense of humor, excellent ideas, a desire to help, always willing to find and be part of a solution, and that you have this way of telling it like it is. I would also say that you are awesome at basketball. What would you say about my description?
All right, for you, Doc, I would say that, well, you're a kind-hearted person, and you're a caring person, and when you get involved in something, you're very passionate about it. Sometimes we're a lot alike. Your passion can be seen sometimes as anger. It's not anger. You just get fed up with folks like, okay, enough of the BS. Let's cut back to the real. So you're a person that actually cares about education, educating not only kids but adults also.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. So when we talk about, let's go back to you for just a minute. So tell me a little bit about this tell it like it is, all right? Because you do that. That was one of the things I greatly appreciated is that, and it in our friendship also, I mean, you don't have a problem saying, okay, but can you listen to me for just a second? Because I think this is where you screwed up.
Well, I come from my grandmother. You know, she was always the kind of person, my great-great-uncle actually. They were the kind of people that said, you know, speak your mind, tell like it is, and you create less stress in your life. People create stress because they build things up. But if you tell people where you stand and how you feel about it, you don't have that to worry about. And you try to be truthful when you tell people things. If they wake you up, you can tell the same thing. Because a lie, you got to think about it. But the truth is always the truth.
Excellent. And it is, isn't it?
That's, yes. You know,
and it works for you because that was one of the things that taught me right off the bat that John's not playing a game with me. He's going to tell you basically, you know, hey, this might work or this might not work, and this is why it's not working, or you might want to rethink what you just did, and which is great. So one of the things that you do is you work with kids all the time, and you had your own kids who are awesome to know, and they're off in the adult world now and doing great things because of you and your wife and the focus you guys have with them. But you know, one of the neat things is that you've also raised other people's kids, which has been really cool. What do you like most about working with kids?
The joy when they learn it. When you're with a kid and the first time you see a kid, eyes get bright from them teaching them something. And it's just a joy from that. Because when I was a kid, a lot of things I wanted to learn, and there were people around me who I felt didn't want to share with me for fear of me surpassing what they did. And I thought that was idiotic. You should always want the generation coming behind you to be better than you. And I would tell kids, look, I want y'all to be better than me. I want y'all to pay taxes when I retire. I want to enjoy life on y'all. So that's one of the biggest things, to see the joy from kids when they're growing, and it's when the light comes on the head. So that's probably the biggest thing, watching the joy when they're learning something.
That's awesome, because that is so cool. You're right. That is the excellent thing about working with kids. You see the joy. You see the light bulb come on. You see the things that start going, oh, wow, I kind of get this now.
Yes.
So cool. What do you think is the one, you know, one of the biggest challenges that teachers and schools face in helping kids be successful?
Right now, one of the biggest things I see is teachers can't teach. What I mean by that, you can't be creative. There are standards you must teach by, and have to teach by. On day one, you have to be here. On day five, they must be there. Whereas before, the teachers, when I was growing up, our teachers always taught us to critically think. And we were taught, if you can critically think, you can do anything. So today, teachers cannot, they are not allowed to teach kids how to critically think. They have to teach kids to the standards, which now you're saying you're making Nimrods, you're making sheep. All they know now is to follow directions and not be creative. So that's the biggest challenge, not allowing teachers to be creative in teaching kids.
Oh, I so agree. They struggle for that ability to, you know, like they need to have permission to be creative.
Yes.
And that's not where creativeness comes from. It comes out of the moment, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Those light bulbs going off, you go, aha, I can do this.
Right.
So let's talk about parents and community members, because that's our focus today. You know, from a parent's perspective, what is one of the, and I want to make sure that my audience understands, we're going to shift between parent and community.
Okay.
And, you know, they kind of will become one and the same. But I got to know you when you were a parent in the school. And then I also got to see you stay with us.
Yes.
Even though your kids had graduated, you stayed with us and were a huge part of supporting the school and the kids. So from a parent's perspective, what is one of the biggest challenges of getting parents to support a school?
Well, one of the biggest problems for high school is parents think the kids don't need them anymore. That's why in the elementary schools you see parents more involved, because that's their babies. They're hanging on. In middle school, they're still trying to hang on because they know that time is ending. By the time they get to high school, it's like, whew, my baby doesn't need me anymore. So parents kind of acquiesce their responsibilities to the school, not understanding kids need them more and more. And then other times, there are places when you go to some schools, the parents are not welcomed. And I'm like, why aren't the parents welcome? And it's because you have control. Some people have control issues where they're like, if this parent come in, they're going to say, I'm not doing things the way they want me to do it. Well, it's not about you doing the way you want to do it. It's doing what's right. Here's what I mean by that is, it starts at home. I always told my kids, I'm going to do my job as a parent. I'm going to prepare them as students. Now, with that said, I expect the teachers to prepare to teach them. Now, I expect the principal to prepare to lead them and the school board to guide them. So that aspect, if I'm not doing my job as a parent, I can't go to the school demanding them to do their job. So a lot of parents get mad, especially in the high school, go to the school and say, well, you're not teaching my kid. So then administration turns around. That's why I love when you were there, Doc, especially you brought people like Guillory in, and be like, okay, what are you doing at home? Now, the parents are going, no, it's not a dumb moment. It's a reality check moment. So if we acquiesce too much responsibility to the schools at this point, especially in the high school level. We want to say time is up for us being parents, not realizing now kids are faced now with more adult decisions than they've ever been faced with. I tell kids now the stuff they're dealing with in high school, especially as freshmen in high school, sometimes actually middle school, I didn't deal with till I got to college. So it's a different time, so parents have to adjust to that time and not just think, oh, my kid's going to be all right because they're in school. No, they need parents more, and parents have to understand that. And then the schools have to understand also to allow parents their freedom to come. And, I mean, I know times have changed. You have crazy people. Parents get upset with the teacher. A lot of parents, they don't come and talk to the teacher. All they know is, my child didn't do wrong. That's why, on that note, Doc, when you and I first met, on the CIA, I met you in 2003. But we really had a conversation with my daughter, who I must say was an AP student, and she got in trouble in the cafeteria. You had an assistant principal there who was brought in for a specific job to help clean up the school. And he did. I give you credit for that. But I tell people, he reminded me of General Andre. He was only good for wartime. When the war was over, he has to go because he doesn't know how to tone down. Well, on that same note, he said my daughter had used profanity against him. And knowing my daughter, I found that kind of unusual. Well, I broke it down. You and I had the conversation that you were going to give her days. I'm like, well, she's an AP student. How would that be? And conversation went. I said, well, if she said something to you, she responded. I know that. If you yelled at her and she didn't like it, she answered you back. If you came at her harshly, oh, I know she said something back to you because she'll say something back to me. But for her cursing you, I find that out of character. And you were like, wow, you're the first parent ever defended their child without defending their child. I'm like, well, I can defend her because I know she's still a child. It's a possibility that may happen, but knowing my child, that's out of character. And you sat back and you made a decision based on, against your system principal's wishes, you made a decision based on the individual child. And I was like, wow, that's somebody who's trying to be fair. And a lot of times the school system, parents run into that challenge. They don't find that. All they find is principals now, and it's not their fault. The system is set up for them to be that way. They don't look into what happened. It's just now this is what it is. So parents come in going, but I want this to happen with my kid. They're like, well, the system doesn't allow that. So I don't want to say I'm putting it just on the system, why some parents don't come, but it's a combination. But parents have to do a better job of saying, I'm going to show up, and not just as an individual, but become part of the PTA. Become part of, especially here in Georgia, the school councils. Because school councils carry more weight than the PTAs. Because the governor mandated that the school councils be a part of what's going on with our parents. So our parents have to find out the things that are going on and get involved. So it's just on different levels. Elementary school, middle school, they're there because it's their babies. High school, they're growing up, they feel they don't need them. So we got to get them to understand they need them more and more in high school so they can make better decisions going into life.
Thanks for sharing, John. And one of the things that I think that sometimes parents think the school just wants is for them to write a check. And even though the school might be happy to take their money, would you agree that there's actually more to it than that? That if you could really just get involved, and it's not really just about money. I mean, it actually is.
It's really not. Here's what I tell especially my community. We're not a socioeconomic high community. In fact, the school is 80% free reduced lunch. But I keep telling folks, if you want to increase your property value, I told parents at a PTA meeting, I can tell all of you right now how to increase your property value by $5,000. Everybody got interested. Tell me how. What's the scheme? No scheme. No scheme at all. Every parent who's listening, I can increase your property value by $5,000 in less than, in approximately, 18 months if your property value is low. Here's how. Volunteer 10 hours in your high school. Volunteer 10 hours in your high school. Reason I say that, because your property value is not based on what your home is worth. It's based on what's going on in the schools. That's why some communities in some areas, they have money to give. So they can pay people to come in and take care of certain things. When you don't have that, people need to see you there because there are things going to school. Sometimes the teacher may need help with something. If there was funding there, if you're a parent, you're there. The teacher may need to step out of the classroom. You are there as a parent. Well, guess what? Kids see parents. Kids gonna respect you because you're somebody's parent. They're gonna listen. They're gonna be, every kid, when a parent comes to a classroom, the teacher says he's having a problem in the classroom. If a parent shows up in that classroom, I guarantee you the teacher will have a problem that day. No matter who parent shows up. Because kids are that way. They're respectful that way. So you're increasing the value of your kid. Now you're showing your community and the kids a sense of what you're doing as belonging with them. You're giving the kids something to say like, wow, so-and-so, mom and daddy get home, so-and-so. So now guess what kids going to do? Kids compete. That's why kids get the new iPhones. So as a parent, if you go and show up, as a parent giving your time, well, guess what? Jimmy's mama going to start coming up. Susie's daddy going to show up. or Rashad's daddy gonna come. Why? Because James' daddy showed up, or Mary's mom showed up, because they gonna tell. So-and-so mom, okay, why did they come? They just wanted to help us out. Oh, really? They gonna start showing up. And now, with that said, now you build a community within your school now. You start getting that sense of connection with the school, and not just where you send your kids, because now you become a part of it. When you write a check, that's all you're doing. You write a check, as they said, and it's a biblical thing. It said that God loved the woman who gave the penny she had. The man just wrote a check for $1,000. Why? He wasn't giving nothing. That was just money. The lady who gave the penny, she gave all she had. So when you don't have no money and you give your time, you're going to be, not only you'll be rewarded, but those around you are going to be rewarded also, because it's a gift of love. And the kids going to see it, and it's going to be received that way. So it makes everything better, because when kids have a sense of pride, a sense of belonging like that, and seeing parents actually care, guess what? Education goes up. Your learning goes up. Because as you go, feel good, look good, you do good.
Nice. Very nice. I like that. That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit for a second here. And you've kind of touched on this a little bit. But what ideas do you have about ways to recruit parents to help and participate in schools beyond just attending student events? And for example, I remember you one day being there bright and early in the morning, and you're handing flyers out because we're trying to increase our attendance at PTA yes. meetings. We're trying to get parents to come out to the school and do some things and volunteer. And you're standing out there and you're handing flyers out to the parents in the car line. So tell me about that. What other ideas do you have?
One thing I'm getting more involved in, I'm going to this upcoming year, I've talked to some folks, and we're going to go to the middle school's PTAs. And what I mean by that is to get them more involved on the high school level, to get them to see beyond just where they are. Instead of, okay, here's where your kid is going to high school. What is going on at the high school level right now? What's going on at the high school level right now? What do you want to see out of them? So, case in point, the school, my community, we built a new high school. So I'm going to tell the parents that are feeding to it, the special 6th and 7th grade parents who will be there 20 and 21 when the school opens, what do you want from the school? Get involved now. So when you get there, what you want will be there already. You don't have to hope for it. You're preparing for it. So it's to get the parents to see beyond where their kids are. Don't just look at the elementary school. Okay, what's going on in the middle schools? Don't just look at today playing. So I'm trying to get parents to get more involved for each level and each step. Another thing I'm trying to do, proposed it before, I got out of it. I might go back to it again. One thing, like for sports, especially like for football, most of the time you have to pay fees to play sports. And one thing I was trying to get parents to understand for a commitment for sports for our area was, if your kid starts in middle school, and by the time you get to your junior, you pay fees all this time because you continue to go into the same school, the same program. So by the time you get to your senior year, when you pay fees, it no longer goes, that senior fees doesn't go to the school program. It goes to your child as an individual senior because you paid your dues. What I'm saying to say that is, now, all our kids would get jackets at the same time. All the parents pay their dues at the same time. You can create a sense of community where you have a ceremony and be like, here's the senior class of 2019. They all get their jackets together. So how that happened? Because the parents brought in, the parents came in and said, oh, we see what you're trying to do. We're binding to the community. Something that simple. Another thing is to get parents, biggest thing I'm on is getting parents to understand property value. That's the biggest thing, to get them to see involvement for property value. Because now everybody's wondering now, why if I own a home on this side of the county, it's worth $300,000 and it's 5,000 square feet, yet a house on the other side of the county, which is 2,000 square feet, they want $500,000. It's not the home. It's the school. So they put money in theirs. We have to put our community in ours and start realizing it's hard to get people out of their comfort zone. That's what I'm trying to say. It's hard to get them out of the comfort zone, to get them involved. But we're trying to get them with, to see how it benefits them to get involved. Another thing is to get them to see what's going on with the education system, period. To get our parents to understand, because this new math they're teaching. I'm an engineer by degree. This new math confuses me when I first saw it. I'm like, so if parents don't know what their kids are going through, they can't understand that also. So I'm trying to get them to come, just to come and see. So it's hard to get just to pinpoint how you get them there. But those are some of the things. Another thing also is too, and we've tried it before, and Doc, you were there, was when you have programs like PTAMIs and things, to get some of the students to perform, to get the band to perform, to get the orchestra to perform, to get the chorus to perform, just to get parents to see what's going on at the school. And then when they get there, to have not necessarily PowerPoints, but have handouts of the positive things that are going on at your school and your community. Not about, well, we did this before and now we've increased it. Who cares? Here are the positive things that we're doing. Focus on the positive that you are doing. And when parents see the positive that you're doing, they want to be a part of that. And the more you promote the positive, the more parents going to be like, I'm coming. The more their kids see that mom and dad are coming, guess what they're going to do? Every kid, case in point, if you pass by a classroom and the kid is cutting up in class, and the parents stick their head in the door, and the kids start looking around the room, and that one kid is working, we all know who parent that is.
Yes.
Same thing with this. When the kids start seeing that other parents start seeing other parents getting involved, they're going to want to get involved because their kids are going to start talking about other parents being involved. So the key is sometimes it's not just how to get the parents, but to get the kids more in tune with what you're doing. So then the parents are going to follow the kids.
I like that. That's awesome, because there's nothing better than the pressure coming from your kid to say, Mom, Dad, why aren't you ever at school?
Absolutely. Other parents are there. Why can't you show up? Yeah, because that happened to me before. I've had parents actually accost me on the streets. Well, you have all this time. You can do that. And you're making me look bad. I'm not trying to make you look bad. That's not my intent. I'm just something I'm supposed to do based on what I can do. But you can come and help me. And then they get upset because now you're pulling their car saying, okay, now here's your opportunity. Some parents don't want that. They want to give it up. Here, raise them. And that can't happen either. So.
Yeah, you're right. That's a difficult thing, is that there's some of them, they just want to be, you know, in the background and just leave me away and leave me alone. And that way that's why the check writing thing happens.
Absolutely.
Well, that makes you go away. Then I'll write
a check.
And you really don't. You want them in the school.
You want to be in the schools. So, and when the kids see you, it makes a difference. They want you to be a part of it. I know my son, when he first got to the school, the first year I had to pull away. I wanted him to have his own identity because I had such a big impact and big imprint on it. So when I came back, they were calling me Nigel's dad.
Nice.
So I felt good that he had carved his own little niche instead of him just being my son.
Yes.
So
that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So one of the things for you to understand as an audience is that, John's children have graduated from the school and they've gone on and they've done some.
Sons are junior in college. Daughters are senior analysts at Northside Hospital, so they're doing well.
Doing well, making their future paths for themselves. But John's still involved in the schools, and he's still involved in the community. He's one of those rare finds that he sees that it's important to stay focused on that. And so now I want to kind of shift gears from the parent to the community members, because that's one of the things sometimes people have a difficult understanding, because they also think, a lot of times you'll run into businesses who think that the only reason why the school wants me is so I write a check. And it's like, here we go with the check thing again. Not that there's anything wrong with the check, but we'd much rather have your help.
Absolutely.
And so what I'd like to kind of talk about here is, let's talk about creating partnerships with community members. Once again, beyond writing that check, do you think it's important and why?
Absolutely. Because once you do that, you belong with a sense of community. In fact, Commissioner Cupid, Lisa Cupid, she has a group here that Milford Osborne Community Group that we meet with the first Monday of every month. And it's business leaders, the police officers, the clergy, and that's what we're trying to do, to form an impact of showing how significant things are to be together. Because when you form a sense of community like that, you become important. And when you become important like that, now you have a sense of pride. Remember, that is, you won't see trash on the streets when you care about what's going on. You won't see kids getting in trouble when you have murals and things. Kids won't be tagging them because they have a sense of pride that they belong in and they're a part of it. So community involvement is crucial to any school, especially if a school doesn't have a community, it doesn't have a city supporting it. Now, if you have a city supporting things, you still want the businesses involved, because that's their future. As they say, when businesses move into areas, it's based on educational level of the community. Can you support my business with the educational level that you have with your kids? That's why Cobb is known to support a lot, attract a lot of businesses because of the educational system. So people want to move up here. So the community has to take advantage of that also. So on that note, what I was saying is that what she's doing with that is we've got people together and we're trying to build ideas. One thing they've done in a study, and in the study, we're trying to change the entire community, and that comes from the community. There's an area in Smyrna called Smyrna Village, which is an awesome area. All kind of people can sit around, has nice restaurants, you can walk around. We're trying to build it on the corner. And the reason I say this is because it's on the corner where we fought years ago. We had the Osborne Coalition to close the school down. And the study came back and said that's a perfect location as prime commercial property. And that's what we were saying. I didn't realize how long ago, but that was 11 years ago.
Wow.
That we fought that, saying that was prime commercial property. Now they finally came around with a study to show something we've known for that long. But that's because the community was involved. And one thing we're trying to do is get the community to understand. I've talked to people, some things we're doing, and it's something simple. And I didn't think of it that way. And it makes a difference. Before we had the Osborne Coalition, we were going to change the name to the Milford Coalition. I've been just doing some research. I'm going to go back to the state senators and reps because they were part of what we were trying to do also. And that would be Dr. Red and Mike Smith. It's not making a coalition anymore. Let's call it the Milford Civic Group. Because when you hear coalition, you're still something like you're trying to solve problems in your area. So if you're saying a civic group, now you're concentrating more on business. You're concentrating more on the economic side of it. So we have to make a shift. And with that, when the community sees that shift now, things it changes your mindset. Case in point, there's a apartment complex, Doc, that you were familiar with. The name has changed. It used to be called the Ferrensons at the time. The place was so bad, we tried to get it closed. But we couldn't because it took someone from inside to close it. They weren't trying to close where you were getting a 3-bedroom, $400 a month. Why would you? The name has changed. It is now reserved at Windy Hills, 80% occupancy. It has a B-plus rating.
Nice. Wow.
So that's a sense of the area sees the community itself changing.
It's come a long ways.
It's a long ways. So we're telling people now, that's how you become a part, by positive change like that, but getting a part of these groups. And we're expanding the groups to get more people involved because we want businesses to see, hey, look, you have to be a part of what's going on. You drive what's going on. Case in point, I didn't realize this. Some of the areas, our area is unincorporated. And if the city would take us on, it's the businesses decide if they want to take on that tax burden. I wasn't aware of that. I thought the city council voted on it. I didn't know the businesses had that much influence on the deciding vote. Information I wasn't aware of. I learned something. I was excited. I learned something new that day. But that's part of the community. But when you learn, that's the kind of thing, what I'm saying, about the community getting involved in, to learn what it takes to make things better. So when the community gets involved like that, now guess what happens? It translates to everything you're doing now. When you go to the commissioner now, when you know you have community involvement, when you have community that's speaking, guess what? The commission is like, oh, that's a voice. When you go to your school board now, they go, oh, that's a voice. So it makes a difference. It impacts everything. You get things done because most people don't like to be seen in the news or in the media in a negative light.
Right. Right.
So if you have a group that you go behind them before it gets to that point, behind closed doors, they'll try to resolve it, knowing that you have a group that can impact their image. So that's one impact of community involvement. It forces people to do the right things for you.
Nice. Thank you very much. And great idea there because, you know, I do remember the days of the coalition and moving forward.
You were a big part of it. You were told not to go to the meetings. You went anyway because you understood the significance of what it meant. Because at the time, let me just share something about Doc, y'all. Dr. Lett, he doesn't like me sharing this.
A little worried now.
We are not, the school he served is an unincorporated area. We didn't have to pull up the city. And we got the bare minimum from the county. The county gave us what they call was fair and equitable, which we thought was a joke. You can't say we're fair and equitable when you have $100,000 and I have $10 and you give us both $100. That's not fair and equitable. So that's what we were dealing with, and that's what he dealt with a lot. But the key was, we were have meetings that were about to go on, and I would actually be in his office sometimes, and he would get calls from those above him, and say, "It would be highly, we would advise you highly, not to attend these community meetings." And he would listen, hang up, and then ask me, "Okay, John, what time does the meeting start?" And I mean to say this because he was someone who actually cared about our community and put his job at risk for it because of his belief in doing what's right for our kids. And I would share a story with him of how I say was, I got to care about loving as a person and a leader of a community and teachers and educators when he'd open the refrigerator and say, like, "Hey, as our private refrigerator." I tell a story to tell people is, it was like you have your parent or your grandparent that has pie for all the kids and give everybody a piece of pie. Well, you always got a smaller pie, but you never knew you had a smaller pie. He came and opened the door and told her, "Hey, y'all had a big piece of pie in the refrigerator." And he made us aware of it. And with that, I thank him for that because it allowed me to see some things I wasn't even aware of. And it made our community stand up for themselves now and not just say they were just going to take those things. I thank you for that, Doc. I appreciate you.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. You humble me. Thank you for sharing that. We have, you know, one of the things that, I do have to say this, you know, it was so refreshing to know that you were there to be able to say, you know, to go back to something I said at the beginning, to tell it like it is, because you would say things that would make me question, all right, am I going the right direction? And when you sometimes, you know, people, you know, they just, you got one voice telling you, no, 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 and you got another voice telling you, yes, 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 but either of those voices, there's something else on the other side of their walls, right. Whereas you're coming in going, okay, here's some thoughts, and you should think about it this way, and it really helped to balance out and give you, and to talk about the support, the feel that, all right, there's a reason to stand up like this, and I appreciated all that.
Absolutely, because like I said, I tell people this: you and I used to get into a lot of political fights with folks. In fact, we actually almost got arrested. Folks don't understand that. We had an event at the school. A PTA meeting. In fact, I was a PTA president at the time.
Yes.
We had about 400 parents showed up. I mean, the auditorium was packed. Standing room only. I mean, we were excited. After the meeting, there was a roadblock.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Checking Hispanic parents to see who were illegal and criminals. Till this day, and that had to be, what, 2005, 6?
Something like that.
Parents still talk about that till this day. When I mean to say this, so Doc and I, because let me tell you, I'm a dark-skinned black male. Although Doc is a Caucasian male, he looks Italian, depending on how you look at it. He may look Puerto, as some folks say, he may look like a little Puerto Rican too. So we were riding together, hoping to get pulled over. They didn't pull us over, but they set the roadblock up at another location. Another time, they was having our fields, they were having water problems in the system. And we were the only one we thought were compliant because our football field was dirt and a dust bowl. And everyone around us has luscious green grass. So the two of us decided we were going to go to the campuses and take pictures.
I remember that well.
So his secretary gets a phone call. I mean, she's on the radio. There's this black and white guy, a black and Hispanic guy on campus with a camera taking pictures. So we went all over the county taking pictures. And after we took pictures, we started complaining about why their fields were so green and ours were so brown. Well, the following week, we started seeing different high schools in the area putting up water signs saying irrigated by well water.
That was funny.
But yeah, we were on the radio and they had us, and we were afraid that, but he was willing to do that, to stand up for our community and let people see that, you know, he was. And on that note, he reminds me of my high school principal. I had a principal like that, Mr. Nelson, God rest his soul. Mr. Nelson was like that. And we were in my mom's, he was in the school board meeting, and my high school that I went to reminds me of the school with you when I was born, because it's definitely on steroids. My high school was a third of the size, maybe a fourth of the size, but the same type of students, same type of feel. And you had a school board meeting, and he was doing something else, and they said something about the school. He jumped up. Don't you talk about my school. That's how you were, Doc. And they said, well, this time they said, well, Mr. Nelson, they say something good. He said, oh, y'all beg my pardon. And that's how you were. You always had on, you were known to wear your red jacket. You had on your Osborne red wherever you went. When you first got there, you brought the kids back a sense of pride. To whereas the kids, the school colors were, they had gray, they had red, they had blue, they had black. I'm like, okay, well, and the school colors are red and white.
Yeah, my favorite one was the blue. It's like, where the heck did the blue come? I knew
red
where it came from.
Red and white. So you brought a sense back. You brought a sense of pride back to the kids who were at school. And I'm gonna tell people, red and white is not my favorite color. I am a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. My favorite colors are purple and gold. I had so much red and white in my closet trying to support this man when I was born, I almost threw up. I had to stop wearing it. I took it out of my closet. I had just that much red and white trying to support him when I was born.
Fraternity brothers disown you.
And yeah, my brother was asking me, what is going on with you? Where you got this red and white on? What's the deal, J-Dub? What's going on?
That's funny.
So, but it was a sense of that, how much he actually cared. And a lot of times that's what we don't see a lot of times in our educators, and it's no fault to them, because a lot of times now the system has shown them education is not important. It's about advancing your career for that dollar. And they lose sense of why they went into education. And Doc, I appreciate you for not losing sight as to why you did that. Because I knew when you were there, I know the hell you caught. Trying to fight for us by doing the right thing. When you could do it like most others, you just sit back, get your check, move up to the next level, and keep it moving. And you decided, and I think, again, I'm a public, again, thank you for deciding not to do that.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. You're too kind. Thank you. So, John, let's talk about communication. Do you have any ideas about how schools could increase communication with parents and the community neighborhood?
One of the biggest ways to do it actually be through the phone system. Everybody has cell phones now. Everybody can text. You can send out mass texts now and mass texts to everyone. You can also send out on marquees. But the biggest thing would be through text and through emails. I mean, you have to use the technology that exists now. Because when you want to send a kid, if a kid wants to send something out, the first thing you do is put it on social media. The schools have to create their own websites also. Create Snapchat. Create Instagram school pages. Not to be part, you want to be part of the kids or the social networking, but information to be conveyed to the parent. Because parents pay attention to it also. A lot of parents may not pay attention to a school email, but they definitely see what their kids doing on Snapchat. So everywhere that there's social media outlets, make sure the school has something involved in it to get information out to parents.
Love that. Awesome advice. Because that comes up quite a bit where, you know, it's like, can you figure out a way of talking to me a little bit better?
Go where they are.
That's excellent advice, yes. All right, so let's work ourselves into this last section here. I like to ask questions about giving advice. And so I'm gonna ask you to give advice here to new teachers, new principals, and as a whole, and parents. So here we go. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers and they haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
It's kind of funny because I've actually had the opportunity over the course of time to talk to about 100 new teachers before they started teaching. And the first thing I told them was, if you want to help our kids, don't try to save them, teach them. A lot of new parents want to go in, oh, little Johnny, he doesn't have this, and they try to pamper a kid. No, if little Johnny doesn't have, arm him and equip him with education so he can have for himself, prepare him. If he doesn't have the greatest, the latest technology on things, allow him to go to the library and check out a computer, because the library, you can check them out from the library. Show him skills and things, how to critically think without using a computer. So, things like that. You know, just show the kids that you want to teach them and not, oh, let me save you, oh. And I mean, by that, sometimes patronize the kid. Little Johnny, well, he came in struggling, so he can write his name, he can read a little bit, he can add money, I'll pass him on. No, you set him up for failure. If you want to help him out and make him better, have demands. Establish who you are from the beginning. Here are your demands. And people will be surprised. When you set standards for kids like that, as a new teacher, and you establish that I have standards for you, the kids will rise to that occasion. especially a new teacher, because if you're a new teacher, that means typically what? You're young. If you're young, you're good looking, and the kids want to please you. Use what works.
Awesome advice. Awesome powerful advice, John. Thank you so much. So now let's take a look at this scenario. Let's now say that you had a chance to talk with 100 soon-to-be principals. What one thing would you suggest they do to help bring in parent and community support?
It actually would start at the school. Have your teachers buy into what you're doing. If your teachers buy into what you're doing, you're going to get the parents and the community to buy into what you're doing also. Because what I mean by that is, the same message is going to be conveyed throughout the school. So when parents come and talk to the teachers, and they hear the principal talking at meetings, and hear the teachers talking, saying the same thing, well, these parents are curious now. Wait a minute. This is something, everybody on the same page. So when you go to parent-teacher conference, the principal is always saying, come get involved, come get involved. And when you go to the classroom, parent-teacher conference, guess what? The teacher and the principal now has created a program of showing them, hey, here are 10 things that you can volunteer for. So I mean, by that is, you have a list of things you want parents to volunteer for with your teachers. So every time they go to a teacher, they come to the school, that's your mantra. Here's a way to volunteer. Every time they show up in your office for something, here's a way to volunteer. So the parents are going, why are you trying to get me to volunteer? This is your school. I'm just here to guide your kids. This is your school. You have to make the parents realize they own the school. You work for them. Not the other way around. Not where they come in and direct you, you're going to do this. No, I'm here to help. I'm here to teach your kids. But this is your home. I may be going to another school, and you're still going to be here. So let us make our community better. So get parents to see it from that aspect.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. So what one thing would you suggest parents remember about getting involved in schools?
The impact they had on the lives of children, not just their own but others. Parents don't realize sometimes the things we say, other kids are listening. You know, if you tell your kid, I don't care what Johnny is doing, you're not going. So the kid's looking like, well, why you don't care about me? But then they go back and think, well, maybe their mom cares about him a little bit more than my mom cares about me. And not you're comparing parents, but it makes the other kids go, let me see what they're doing. And makes other kids, you have a greater impact just by being consistent, strong and consistent. And other kids will see that. So that'd be the impact you have when you come around. When kids see strong consistency with parents, they want to become like you. You become a role model without realizing you're becoming a role model.
Nice. Thank you. So as we get ready to wrap this up, and John, I greatly appreciate your time today. This has been awesome. I want to ask you this. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
I have a couple of teachers. Most of my teachers that influenced me were actually my middle school and elementary school teachers. Ms. Sires, Ms. Lamoureux, Mr. Hall, Mr. Paul. I mean, it's Mr. Gaines. I mean, there were so many of them, because Ms. Benton, Ms. Dunn. I mean, these were teachers who made you critically think. They didn't just give you anything. You had to think about what you did. I tell kids this one story. I was in sixth grade. I never forget. I was in sixth grade. And I was an honor student all my life. And we took a test in a language arts test. Ms. Lambert was my teacher. So we was in the cafeteria. She said, well, Williams, how you think you did on the test? I said, I know I did good. I know I didn't make no B, R, C. I'm cocky. She said, you're right. You made a D.
Oops.
I was devastated. I had never made a D before in my life. I was devastated. She said, here's why. And what happened was, she called me to the class afterward and showed me what the simple mistakes I had made. She didn't call me in front of the class. She pulled me to the side and said, you were rushing. You know the information. Here's what you need to do to slow down. Little things like, wow. Because most teachers at the time, they put me in front, as cocky as I was, they'd put me in front of the class and say, oh, here's your grade. So I knew my grade, but she showed me what I did wrong on that. So little things like that allowed me to be like, wow. She didn't have to do that, because it was just something different. Dr. Hall and them, they were just men who were just men. I mean, if you were wrong for something, you were wrong. There was no, they didn't sugarcoat it. They just told you like it was. And my other one had to be Mr. Collins. He was a basketball coach. Actually, when I pledged Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, he wrote my letter of recommendation for me. He was kind of a quiet, reserved guy, but I found out about him, he had a inner strength that was different. You know, he was quiet, and people took his quietness as a something until you ran upon him. Then you realize, you just poked a bear. Mm-hmm. So I understood how people can. You don't judge people by who they are. You take a man for being a man. So those teachers taught me things like that. They taught you respect for people. They taught you how you don't call people dumb because they don't know anything. Sometimes they've never been exposed to anything. And that was the biggest thing I found out with those teachers like that. They gave me insight. Again, because they taught me how to critically think. The books we had were books that were sometimes 10, 15 years old behind the system. They weren't even up to date. But we were taught to think. And that's what our teachers did for us. And that's what I think sometimes our kids miss today. Where teachers not allowed to teach them critically. All they allowed to teach them the system. Here's how human robots, as you and I say, I want our favorite word, Nimrods. That's what we're creating. Where we were growing up, we were taught to think. And those teachers had that kind of type of impact upon me. And so far as college, probably Dean Burrell, the most one, Dean of Engineering at the time. Because right after I pledged, I lost my mind. My grades, I had a 3.5, and my GPA dropped to ridiculously low. Dean called me in the office. I think he cussed me up one side, went down the other side. I got upset with him. He saw I got upset. He cussed me out again. Then put me out of his office and told me, get your mind right. And I did, because here was, I'm at a university, and the dean of engineering took the time out of his day to tell me, he see why I'm about to mess up, blow my life. Where most universities, I've just been a number. So when I tell people I love my university, Southern University, A&M College, and my high school, and I say my high school, those teachers, because I went to Rosenwald High, and Rosenwald Elementary and Rosenwald High, and the high school has significance. The name is from Julius Rosenwald, who was a philanthropist for black people to get an education. So little things like that made an impact, knowing things like that. Our teachers taught us history about who you were and who you represented. And those teachers created those kind of things in me. They also always showed us, especially people like Mr. They were cool teachers. Some of them were so cool, they were breezy cool. We saw that side of and you didn't see that side of you didn't have a lot of male teachers. So when you saw a man who's a man and actually a cool male teacher, was like, okay. So they made impacts like that too. So you can be a man. Because I wanted to go into teaching, but at the time, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't see no money in it. And I realized I should have followed my passion, because that's what I'm doing now, basically. I have my own, you know, I do a contracting company that I have my own, but I'm still, everything I do is always involving kids. So I understand what passion is. But at the time, I needed my finance to be a little different. But those teachers tried to tell me what my passion was going, because they say they saw it within me. And I'm still doing it. But those teachers, Ms. Cyrus, Ms. Lamoureux, Mr. Hall, Mr. Gaines, Ms. Benton, Ms. Dunn, Big Rube, that's Mr. Collins. And in college, Dean Burrell, you know, they had and some others also, but those were the ones that, no matter what, they made a great impact on my life.
That's awesome. And I can, you know, what's really neat is that you had no problem coming up with multiple names who had that impact. And that's so awesome, John. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
John, thanks so much for all you do to help kids, teachers, administrators. I mean, me personally, I mean, you helped give me strength when I was struggling with decisions, and you helped me make the right decision. And, you know, and it really speaks to who you are as a person, that you care not only just about your kids and what's going on there, but for your community as a whole as well. And you continue to work within in your community. And I give you kudos for all that. You're an amazing role model, and I'm glad to be able to call you a friend.
Thank you. And if I could leave on one note, just tell people, get involved. Get involved, get involved, get involved. Not only your school system, but in voting. Parents, listen, especially, and Doc, I know you got everybody on your radio, but minority parents listen and kids listen well, especially young adults. We complain about who's in charge, get out and vote. We complain about if you get harassed by police. Well, guess who picks your police chief? The mayor. You vote for these people. Stop complaining. Get involved. When you feel the school system is not doing it, what you expect them to do, guess what you need to do? Get involved. Stop complaining at home. Because you complain at home, that's all you can do is complaining at home. No one hears you complaining at home. Get involved. For my religious people, if you say you're Christian, become Christ-like. To become Christ-like. Get involved. Go against your government if you feel your government is wrong. Go against your church if this church is not doing what you say it should do. Because that's what he did when he went to the temple. Look it up. I'm not just telling you this. Get involved, people. Again, it's get involved, get involved, get involved. And you want to make your community a better place, you make this world a better place.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.